You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.
What it is? What to do? Welcome to Fresh Take, the ISO, Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot. We are back for more NBA free agency review. Discussion, whatever you want to put it as. And quite a day today. We're recording this right now. It's just about 9 o'clock Mountain Time. Happy Canada Day as we do record this. And today was the day of trades in the NBA. Today was the day of trades. We talked about yesterday, the evening time. Everyone got their extensions. And today was the day of trades. There's still the big one out there with Kevin Durant. And now you're hearing a little bit of rumors of the Raptors potentially lurking as a team out there. And as Andy Kenyar and I have said, when talking about Kevin Durant and a trade, the Toronto Raptors make the absolute most sense. And now they're a team that's out there. Scotty Barnes seems to be a main piece. If you're the Raptors, you just want to try to do Pascal Siakam in that trade if you can. And we'll see it. And it seems with the Kyrie Irving piece in this, that's not going to get done until the Kevin Durant piece gets done. So it's kind of very much similar. And Andy brought this up when we were on the phone the other day talking about this off-air. It's kind of like the summer of Kawhi. Once the Kawhi chip dropped, a bunch of other chips will drop, and that's kind of where we're looking right now. But some big chips did drop today, and let's start with the Boston Celtics. Man, they are they're going to be formidable next year. We had heard for a while that there had been the big rumor going around that Russell Westbrook could be traded to the Indiana Pacers, potentially, and that would be a potential to get the Lakers Malcolm Brogdon or Buddy Hield. But now we're finding out that is not exactly the case. Malcolm Brogdon's a Boston Celtic. So the Celtics, they're sending Daniel Tice away again. They just got him back at the trade deadline after he had kind of a tour of Washington, Chicago, Houston. Now he goes to Indiana. They're sending the young player Aaron Naismith. He's gone. A 2023 first-round pick. I don't know the protections on that one. I'm assuming the Celtics put no protections on that one because they're going to be good. So I don't really see a reason why they need to put any protections on that. And they get back Malcolm Brogdon. So a pretty good trade for the Celtics. They didn't really have to give a lot, and they get exactly what they needed. They got a good ball handler, which they needed. And a guy that can play defense as well. So another really terrific defender on the Celtics team. A guy that can score in bunches as well. Great two-way player. Really solidifies what the Celtics needed. They needed another piece off the bench. Someone that could handle the ball a little bit more. We consistently heard throughout the playoffs, man, they just need someone that can dribble better. Someone that can be a playmaker more. And yes, Malcolm Brogdon is not exactly Chris Paul or Cade Cunningham. No one's going to make him for that, but it's a guy that's rookie of the year. He was a key piece to some of those earlier Milwaukee teams. Being healthy is going to be the main thing. He's had a little bit of health concerns the last little bit, but for what the Celtics gave up, you know, the Celtics are going to be a top five NBA team next year. Their team that just went to the NBA finals. They were within two games of being NBA champions. You would expect them to fully come back next year, and they get exactly one of the pieces that they needed. And the one thing I also like that the Celtics did too is it sounds like they're going to be getting Dino Gallinari. So a great three-point shooter off the bench. So the Celtics are answering everything right now that you wanted them to answer. They got a new ball handler. Great. They got a little bit more help off the bench with Brogdon, now with Dino Gallinari. Both those guys can start too, no doubt about it. But I think they're going to stay with the core of Time Lord and the Jays and Marcus Smart and Horford in that starting lineup. But you know, if injuries happen or whatever, both these guys, Gallo, who's not confirmed yet, it can't happen, I believe, until July 6th that'll become official. But from what Woj is saying, it seems like Gallo is going to be a Celtic, and then they bring in Malcolm Brogdon. So the Celtics right now are looking like an absolute beast of a squad to continue where they're going. And Brad Stevens doing a tremendous job with this squad, and Potentially, the only other thing I think they really need is just to get a backup big just for Time Lord, right? Because we saw that he had a lot of those injuries throughout the playoffs last year and late in the regular season. And it sounds like they're in the run for Thomas Bryant. It sounds like a three-team race right now between the Raptors and the Lakers. And I think the Celtics may have an advantage in that because unless he goes, I guess, for the minimum or whatever. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think the Lakers or the Raptors now, with them being involved with whatever Brooklyn are doing, they, at this point now, I don't know how many more moves either side will get. I guess if he's, like I said, if he signs the minimum with either side, then I think they're fine. But both those teams are kind of waiting on Brooklyn, where Boston is just kind of finding more depth for their squad. So I think it's an excellent piece there for Boston to add up Malcolm Brogdon, and for the Pacers, the continuous teardown continues, and they get a great young player in Aaron Smith-Naismith. They can see how well he works. They brought in Jabari Smith today that they got from the Suns. He's a higher draft pick, so they can see what he can do with Halliburton and Chris Duarte there. And they're just rebuilding their team that's in the victor race right now, right? So the next, I guess, drop will be, where does Miles Turner go? Where does Buddy Hield go for the Pacers? Where do those two guys go? We knew Malcolm Brogdon was on that list. Now he's gone, and now we just wait to see where Miles Turner goes. He's a guy that I could see still be a Raptor. He's a guy the Raptors are looking for. I mean, if the Celtics somehow could pull that off, I mean, I guess I'd have to go into the trade machine. In fact, we're going to pause this for 2 seconds, and we're going to go into the trade machine and see something here. So one trade I had in mind, if the Celtics wanted to still go for Miles Turner, it's a lot, though. That's a little bit different trade. I was just maybe thinking, oh, maybe they could flip them a Grant Williams and a Peyton Pritchard and some picks, but you'd also have to give Derek White, which maybe you'd want to do now that you have Brogdon there, but just to kind of have a backup there with Derek White, even though he was up and down for them, and I guess you don't really need Miles Turner if you're the Celtics, but just a fun experience there to kind of see what's needed and what's not as we get further in this NBA season. And, you know, for the Pacers, again, they don't want to probably go into the season with a Buddy Hield or with a Miles Turner. And, I mean, the Buddy Hield thing will be interesting, too, because the Lakers have been interested of trying to get Buddy Hield. Will there maybe be a three-way deal if the Kyrie thing goes down? We'll have to kind of wait and see where the Buddy shoe drops next. I could see him going into the season with the Pacers. Miles Turner has 1 year left, so at some point, he's going to be traded. It's about an $18 million contract, so Turner is going to be traded at one point. And again, it's just about being in the victor sweepstakes. I talked about this with Peter the other day, and we're going to talk about another team that's clearly getting in there. We saw the Spurs go for it. We already kind of knew Indiana was part of it, but now dumping a player like Brogdon, they're definitely showcasing that they want to get rid of some of the higher-level players that they have. And Buddy and Turner are two of the last ones on that roster that will have to be moved on next. But yeah, I think great move for both sides. You know, the Pacers, they get a pick, they get a young asset in Naismith. They can see what they can get out of him and where they want to go forward with him. And they get, you know, the pick might be late, but still you got a first round pick, and we'll see what Indiana can do. They haven't really had a great history of drafting lately, but I think it's because also Indiana for the last 20, 25 years, Indiana has always just kind of been in that middle ground, right? Or the higher ground in the first place. So they never had to draft always super late. But whenever they have, I mean, they have some good picks. You know, Roy Hibbert, yes, it was a sign and trade with the Raptors, but that was the pick that they wanted to get when they did the Jermaine O'Neal trade. So Roy Hibbert, Paul George, Danny Granger. So a few good late round picks by the Pacers in the past, and those are kind of the middle ground there. And now obviously that Celtics is going to be a little bit later, but just a little bit of advance of, you know, they have a decent history and a little bit out of the lottery of drafting. So we'll see what happens there, and obviously they're in the French victor sweepstakes going forward. So I think it's a great side for both teams, and, you know, Brogdon, like I said, can be a playmaker and he can do a good job at playing defense for them as well. And we had another trade. Kevin Huerter, he is off to Sacramento, and the Hawks are going to add Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless, and a first-round pick to go to Atlanta for that. So Sacramento getting a great player in Kevin Huerter to their squad, and now they have him and they have Malik Monk there, so guys that can shoot it. Sacramento's a team, I don't know what they're going to be. They are a very interesting team. They obviously drafted for need with Keegan Murray in the draft. They got Sabonis there. Fox played really good down the stretch. They got Harrison Barnes. They brought in a new coach now, Mike Brown. So it's a solid team. They're going to be a hard out. I don't know if they're quite in the French, the Victor Wembanyama side of things, but it's an interesting bunch of players that go into the season. You know, it's going to be a tough out, like I said. And for the Hawks, they get a Holiday brother. I think they just added one. I think Aaron Holiday is there now, too. And then Mo Harkless, who we've seen is a good two-way wing. Wings are important in this league, so Hawks get a good one in that. And then getting a first-round pick for Kevin Huerter, I think, is an absolute win for this team. Huerter, who has been back and forth, is showing that he can be a great playmaker at times. But the Hawks, obviously, that backcourt's a little bit different now when they bring in Devontae Murray, and I think that made, that obviously made Huerter expendable for them. So, you know, they flip it. They get a good two-way wing in Mo Harkless. They get a great player in Justin Holiday, and they get a first-round pick. So that's a great trade for Atlanta. You know, and they need to be in a situation where they're going to be a top five to top four Eastern team. I don't personally see it just yet, but I do like both these moves. They're great depth moves for this Atlanta team, and this is still going with, will they move John Collins? Will they move Clint Capella? We kind of talked about that in the pod that I did earlier for the day one recap. And so this is the next piece going for Atlanta, where we've seen with Indiana and seen with San Antonio, and we'll get to Utah in a second. They're just kind of moving pieces around and seeing where the tank can go and get them into that top of the lottery next year for Victor. Atlanta sees the path of the right pieces that they have there, but they're trying to reassess around now Devontae and Trey. They add some depth here, and now we'll see what happens with Collins and Capella. But interesting things happen in Atlanta right now. Travis Schlenk obviously has an idea of the model that he's going with there. And last year, everything was status quo. And they made it to the Eastern Conference Final. And they've kind of torn that down. They've pretty much now given up Cam Reddish for nothing because Kevin Knox, we mentioned, went to the Pistons the other day. So kind of butchered that pick. DeAndre Hunter is going to be a big option going there. Okongwu, they have a lot of high hopes on him. And I think that's kind of the building blocks there is Okongwu, Hunter, Trey, and now Devontae, and then building around it. And you saw that today, and it made players like Kevin Huerter and eventually Capella and John Collins expendable. So again, it's kind of a harmless trade. I kind of see where it's going on both sides, and yeah, Sacramento is going to be a tough out, and Atlanta rebuilding the foundation for the squad. And then our final trade, the big one, the literal big one, the three-time defensive player Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert. He is off to Minnesota. And I talked about this with the Atlanta one where the picks were kind of crazy. This is the definition of insanity. So Minnesota is sending its 2023, 2025, and 2027 all unprotected in a top five pick to Utah for Rudy Gobert. And also, the Jazz will get back a recent drafty Auburn player, former North Carolina Tar Heel, Walker Kessler. So he'll be their center of the future. So Utah is in a rebuild. Windhorst talked about this today. Yes, we all saw the memes. It was enhanced theater for a lot of us. And here we go with Utah. Are they in for French Vic now? That's going to be interesting. Royce O'Neal, he got moved for a first-round pick. Now they have a Minnesota first-round pick. I believe they have their own first-round pick. So you look at these teams. I think when we get to the draft, it's going to be like, what? OKC, Utah, like, man, San Antonio. Like, it's just going to be all these people that have all the draft picks. All these teams are just going to be certain collection for all the draft picks at this point. It's getting ridiculous right now. Gobert's a great player defensively. He's a liability offensively at times. We saw that in the Jazz run of the playoffs 2 years ago. At times in that series against the Clippers, they're just going to play him. So now they're going to play him at the five, and they're going to put Cat to the four. Cat, who disappeared during the playoffs last year. They don't have Patrick Beverley anymore. He was obviously part of this trade as well. So so was Malik Beasley. He goes to the Jazz as well. So Malik Beasley is a really nice piece to get there. He's a good young player. It's going to be interesting what Minnesota is doing here. They gave away all their depth. Jared Vanderbilt, another part of this trade as well. So they gave away all their depth. So now we have to see where Minnesota is going to go in this free agency. Can they find some extra depth going forward here? Patrick Beverley, who was a big heart of this team and really drove them going forward. And will they miss a player like that? You look at the two times that Minnesota's made the playoffs in the last 15, 16, 17, whatever it is, years. It's been a drive from Jimmy Butler. Guy has heart. Wants more of his players. And then from Patrick Beverley. Guy has drive. Wants more out of his players. So now Pat goes to Utah. Will Patrick Beverley stay in Utah? Will they waive him? Will they try to trade him? I'm sure there's a lot of teams that would love to have a Patrick Beverley. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens to Pat Bev in the next few days, getting Walker Kessler. That's a nice building block to go forward with them there. And then the picks. I think Utah is crazy. You look at what the Western Conference is, right? They're not better than the Warriors, right? They're not better than the Warriors. They're not better than the Suns. They're not better than Memphis. They're not better than Dallas. They're not better than the Nuggets. They're not better than the Pelicans. They're not better than the Clippers. So I just gave you pretty much eight teams that they're not better than. And they were a seventh seed last year. But that is with the side of the Pels didn't have Zion Williamson, who will be back, and didn't have the full year of CJ McCollum. So they're going to be better than the Minnesota Timberwolves next year. And that's a team that could potentially have Kevin Durant. Let's not even talk about that at this point. We're not going to put that. We're going to put what the current team has. The Clippers are definitely going to be better than you. Look at all the depth they've assured. And this is a team that went 42-40 and really didn't have their two best players last year and added a lot of depth with adding Norman Powell and Robert Covington. And just today now, officially adding John Wall to the team. So things are looking up for the Clippers. Not to mention, we don't know what the Lakers are going to be. You know, this is the team that could have Kyrie. It's easy for me to say. They could have Kyrie all of a sudden. It could be an entirely different team. What are the Portland Trailblazers going to look like all of a sudden, right? I think they're about that same level that the Timberwolves are at. It's a very risky trade for this Timberwolves team that they're putting all the chips in on Rudy Gobert for the next 5 years, 4 years, whatever it is, five, 4 years of draft picks. This is, if it fails, and Minnesota has notoriously not been good for a long time, and I really like Anthony Edwards, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I do not know about this trade on the Minnesota side. For Utah, great. You got rid of a guy that you weren't really happy with. It sounds like they're going to keep Donovan Mitchell, at least as we're recording this show, and he's going to get to run the team, so we'll see if he can go to the next level. But you traded a lot for a guy that on offense is not very effective. Defensively, he's fantastic. And maybe he'll be great to have next to Cat. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if, or is he going to block the lane for a guy like Anthony Edwards to work with? It's a very, very risky trade there for Tim Connelly, the new general manager in Minnesota. I don't see them anything more than a 9 seed right now because, like I said, they took away their depth. And, yeah, you've got a great defender in Gobert there, and that's great. But Cat's okay at defense. Edwards is working on it. D'Lo can't play defense. So one defensive player doesn't make a defensive team. And you're giving up unprotected picks. So the picks had some protections on them, top 10 or lottery or something on them, and they kind of change protections as they go on. Then, you know, I'd look at the trade a little bit differently. But you're going with unprotected picks. And Minnesota is a team that I could absolutely see, even currently constructed right now, missing the playoffs next year. And if you miss the playoffs in a draft that has this game-changing player next year, Utah's already punched two tickets to this next year for themselves. So good luck. Good luck with that. I don't know what Minnesota's doing. We'll see where the moves come for the depth and what else they can bring. But as the team is currently constructed, I don't see it as more than a play-in team right now. And again, I know they were a seventh seed last year. But again, that is a play-in team, technically. But
the Clippers are going to be better, and the Pels are going to be better, and the Lakers are probably going to be better than you, potentially, right? So I don't know. I mean, it's a team that won 46 games last year, and Portland's going to have a fully healthy Dame. Now with GP in the backcourt, Jeremy Grant, they're going to, Anthony Simons, Nurk is back. So Portland, again, I think is just at that same level, really, as Minnesota. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a fan of the trade. I'm really not a fan of the trade on the Minnesota side of things. For the Jazz, man, I wouldn't have thought you would have got something like that for Rudy Gobert. It wasn't working. You know, it wasn't working with Rudy and with Donovan and that whole group there. We saw Joe Ingles the other day. He left for Milwaukee. They got rid of Royce O'Neal. Now Mike Conley's there, Bogey's there, and Donovan Mitchell's there. Of course, I would expect a team, you know, they'll probably call about Mike Conley, see what they can get out of him. Team's definitely going to call about Bogey, see what they can get out of him. Team will probably call about Rudy Gay, see what they can get out of him. So they have some pieces to rip away for other teams now that they could use for some contending teams, pieces that will help a contending team. And like I said, I'm going to say this over and over and over and over again. You are either in it to try to make a run, so I'll give Minnesota credit that. They have decided we are in this. We think we can be a team that can make a jump, so Rudy Gobert is the next piece for that. We're going to willing to do what it can do. We've stayed in stalemate for long enough. We have these young assets with Kat and Anthony Edwards. We're going forward. So I'll give them credit on that. I just don't like the turn back of it. Or you're pulling your chips back and saying, we're going for this young guy that can be a game changer. And now we've seen that the Spurs did that. It seems like Utah's in that direction. We already know some other teams like OKC are hoping to be in that direction. But in Indiana, we talked about too, they're probably going to be in that direction. The lottery is a completely different system than it used to be. But you're going to see teams that are going to go into next season and just try to grow some young players and let that be a big thing that happens for them. And hopefully they win the lottery next year and they win this once in a generational type of player in Victor right now. And it seems like that's what Utah is going to do. They have some more pieces to take off, like we mentioned. So we'll see where that goes. So yeah, as far as the three trades go, my favorite for any team is Boston getting Malcolm Brogdon for as little as they did. And I just think it's just such a game-changing piece of the team that was so close to a championship last year. And that the rumors and what Woj is reporting is true about them getting Gallo. Absolutely love that. The Atlanta and the Kings trade, cool. Fine trade. It makes Sacramento take it to another level. I mean, even Sacramento, we'll see where they are against Minnesota. I think they're a really deep team. They need someone to take the lead on that team. But, you know, they're a fine team, the Sacramento Kings. And they're, like I said, they're going to be a competitive team for that play-in spot now, which is where I think Minnesota is going to be. And Atlanta, they're reconstructing their team. They got a few more pieces to go to here. That's the interesting thing is we're on day two. Some of these teams are reconstructing things in an entirely different way. Some are kind of blown it up completely. Some teams, like the Hawks, are reconstructing their team in different ways and have certain players that they're going to put around there. So those are the big trades that happen. My favorite, again, is the Boston one. Let's talk about some of the free agent signings that happened today. So the Warriors, they lose Otto Porter. He is off to Toronto. What a move from Toronto. It does make me think Toronto's got something going here. I talked at the very start of this podcast about Woj saying that the Raptors were lurking after Kevin Durant. Okay, we'll see. I mean, I thought that they could be a team that was maybe in the Rudy Gobert sweepstakes. Obviously, that's gone. We've heard Miles Turner around for the Raptors. We don't know what's going on with DeAndre Ayton still. We're in day two and nothing on DeAndre Ayton. Again, I don't think anything will happen on Ayton now because that's a chip that Phoenix has for that trade. So nothing on Ayton. Miles Bridges, I had some people message about that. I'm not going to talk about that situation, but I don't know if we're playing the NBA anytime soon from the despicable acts he did. So he's off the books for anyone to consider. But Otto Porter, it's a great ad for the Raptors. Just a little bit too much on the wing there now, but maybe you can't have enough wings. He proved himself in Golden State last year, so signs a deal with Toronto. It's a nice get there. Timberwolves did add a little bit of depth later. They ended up to get Bryn Forbes, so nice get there. The Dubs bring back Kevon Looney, so He's either going to be starting or backing up James Wiseman for the foreseeable future, but either way, for the next 3 years, he's a Warrior. They also brought in Dante DiVincenzo, 2 years, 9.3 contract. Really, really like that one for them. I really like that one. The Nuggets, they just get better defensively. So we talked that they have KCP there. Now they bring in Bruce Brown. So they're loading up in the guard spot really, really nicely defensively right now. We saw how good Bruce Brown could be on and off in the starting lineup and the bench for the Nets a few seasons ago. And now he goes to the Nuggets for 2 years, $13 million. I really love this Nuggets team right now. If they can stay healthy, they may be my favorite in the West. I think they're really looking nice right now. The Mavs, they bring back Theo Pinson, who is a nice energy guy off the bench for him. The Knicks, they re-sign Mitchell Robinson, 4 years, $60 million. The Hawks, it's like I said, they signed Aaron Holiday. John Wall officially goes to the Clippers for 2 years, $13.2 million. And that would be interesting to see who the starting point guard there is. Is it Reggie Jackson or is it John Wall? Robin Lopez, he goes to the Cavs, so a nice backup center option there for the Cavs. They also sign Real Neto. Derek Jones goes to the Bulls. The Blazers, we talked about it, they got GP2. Nurk goes back to the Blazers, and then the Blazers also get Drew Eubanks. So not as many big moves today on the free agent signings side of things, but just the big trades that happened, and now we're just kind of waiting to see where the trade drops. That's the kind of the big shoe to drop, and I think until that happens, we're just kind of now waiting to see where DeAndre Ayton goes, right? That's one of the last big free agents remaining. James Harden still hasn't signed his deal officially yet, which I'm kind of surprised so far in, and maybe that's because Philly's a sneaky Kevin Durant team. Potentially, you know, you've heard some stuff in there. Colin Sexton hasn't signed with the Cavs yet. He's a restricted free agent. I thought maybe that would have been done. So obviously some decisions are going to be made on that. So I wonder now if that's going to go all the way down to the buzzer and they'll just sign him for the one-year tender. TJ Warren, he hasn't been signed from anyone. I know the Lakers were a team that was interested in him in the wing. Maybe Celtics, a few other teams, I'm sure, are going to be looking at him, but he's injury concerns, right? The last few years, he was really good in the bubble, but injuries concerns are there. Montrezl Harrell, he has problems with the law, some tough stuff there, so I don't know how much teams want to go to him. Dennis Schroeder, he's a free agent. He could be waiting a while for that. We have the Martin twins, they're free agents. And then you have some of the vets, right? Blake, LaMarcus, Melo, Dwight, Hassan, DeMarcus Cousins, and Goran. Rondo, none of those guys have found a spot just yet. Isaiah Thomas, Lou Williams, Austin Rivers, Serge Ibaka, Tristan Thompson. This is where we are now, all the vets. So where will some of these vets be able to sign a landing spot to go with right now? That'll be the next kind of shoe to drop for some of these. And some of these vets are probably waiting to see, like, where does Kevin Durant go? Because wherever Kevin Durant goes, maybe I'll sign there. The Lakers still have some spots left. If they get Kyrie, maybe I'm going to go there, right? Maybe the Warriors are going to snake some of that. Maybe they're waiting to see what happens in Philly, what happens in Phoenix, what happens in Miami. So I think for some of the vets, they're just kind of playing the waiting game now, because you can see how many of these vets that there are. They're just going to play the waiting game to see where this Kevin Durant thing goes. And I think now, just kind of looking where we are for free agency and stuff, no doubt we're going to have action, but I think we're going to definitely hit a slower pace now until the Kevin Durant situation has figured itself out. Unless either A, Kevin Durant gets traded, or B, the Nets kind of just say, we're going to take this into the season, we've decided, and we'll go with that, and then maybe some teams will make moves in a different way. But until that happens now, just judging by some of these free agents that we're seeing, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. And again, I think it's mainly just because they're going to wait to see where the market is. And it's not, may not even be necessarily that they're waiting to see if a Durant goes to a Phoenix or Miami or Toronto, etc. To go there, they're waiting to see, like, okay, does he go there? And then do I want to stay away from that conference and go to this conference for an easier path there? I think that's kind of where potentially you're looking right now. The Sexton one is interesting. Why the Cavs haven't done anything in Colin Sexton yet. We get why Aiden hasn't happened, and we understand the Miles Bridges situation. At this point with Miles Bridges, I would just assume he'll just come back to the Hornets at this spot. So it'll be something for him and the Hornets to work out with how ugly that situation is. But yeah, there we go. But again, I'll just kind of reiterate. I am very shocked that Colin Sexton hasn't signed in the Harden thing. I thought that would be done right away, but here we are as we record right now, and nothing has been official with James Harden yet. We know he's going to be a Sixer. We know that much. But it's just interesting that he hasn't officially signed yet. You figured he would because they got Daniel House. They got PJ Tucker. These former Rockets are going there. You can kind of see the path that he's going. He has a deep connection with Daryl Morey. So I don't know what's taking a James so long to go on. That's why I'm wondering if Philly is a dark horse for Durant. The problem is with Philly, I don't really know what the package would be for Durant. It'd be Maxey and Tobias Harris and some pieces, but yeah, that's an interesting situation if that's something there. That's something to keep an eye on, though, with Harden not having it signed just yet. So yeah, there's day two in the wraps. If somehow a trade happens, maybe we'll have someone else here. We'll be back to give you the latest. Make sure you follow us everywhere on Fresh Take, Fresh Take 42 on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. Until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the games, people.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network, NBA Draft Special.